Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. "I will open my mouth to speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundations of the world." Then he left the crowds and went into a house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with a fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of the fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I can't remember if I've ever told you this before, but I don't garden. Not because I don't like it or I don't like the idea of gardening. I cook a lot and I like to use fresh produce and herbs, and so growing my own fresh produce and herbs sounds like a great idea. I just don't garden because I'm horrible at it. My main issue is I just kind of let things get out of hand easily because gardening takes a lot of attention and work. You have to make sure the plants are getting enough water, for instance, because, for instance, this has been a really, really dry summer, so you would have to be watering your plants on a regular basis, and it's really easy to forget to give them enough water or to get busy. And you also have to, for instance, fight off critters like aphids or beetles or squirrels or rabbits that come about. And you also have to weed. So all of this goes into gardening, and because of that, because I don't have the time, because I don't have the attention span, I just don't do it. Definitely not as a hobby, and definitely not as a career. Now, this is something Jesus and I share in common. Jesus wasn't a gardener. He was a carpenter by trade before he went off on his unofficial Messiah tour where he was preaching and teaching and healing all over the country. So, who knows, that might be something you share in common with Jesus too. I bring this up because at first glance, we can definitely tell that Jesus doesn't really have any skill at gardening based on the parable he tells about the wheat and the weeds. Jesus tells us the kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who sowed good seed in the field. However, while everyone was asleep or doing something else at night, an enemy came and sowed weeds in the field. When the plants start to grow, both the wheat and the weeds grow up together. And the workers, seeing what happens, go to their boss and ask, first of all, where did the weeds come from? After all, he was supposed to sow good seed. He answers them, it came from the enemy at night. Correct answer, easy enough. Then the very smart workers ask what they should do and ask to do what every normal gardener or farmer would do if they were faced with this situation. Shouldn't we just go and gather the weeds and pluck them up now? In other words, let's just go and pull them up and get rid of them now. This is normal, gardening 101. Even if you don't garden, you know once the weeds start growing, you go and you pluck them up. You get rid of them. You get them out of the garden. However, the boss instructs them to do otherwise. Nope, hold on. By gathering the weeds, you might uproot the wheat with them, let them grow together until the harvest, and the harvest separate them out. You want us to do what, Jesus? This is horrible gardening advice. You have to admit. Of course, the whole point of this parable was not for Jesus to give us gardening advice. Instead, he was telling us what the kingdom of heaven was like. First, a word about the kingdom of heaven. Often when we talk about the kingdom of heaven, we think of a couple of things. First, we think about the images given to us by the classical artists. You can think of this, right? Like the angels with the really chubby cheeks and the wings and the halos, gold halos, and they're on fluffy clouds and there's bright sunshine, and you know what I'm talking about, right? So that's what we picture when we think of the kingdom of heaven. And then second, we often think about it as a separate place in time than Earth, perhaps in the future. But this isn't exactly how it works. Often people think that the way the kingdom of heaven works is you have the old world and the Earth, what we're living in now, full of sin and evil and death and all that stuff. So you have that, and that will live up to kingdom of heaven, coming again of God, and then you start living in this new creation with the fluffy clouds and the angels and the halos. So you have this clean break of when Jesus will come again. But that's not quite how it works, or what we believe as Lutherans. So what we believe in Lutherans is this weird little in-between time. Yes, you have the old creation over here, and you have the new creation over here, the kingdom of heaven. But the kingdom of heaven isn't just separated by this line of when the new comes and when Jesus returns. Instead, we live in something more that looks like this. And what has happened is here, in this middle part, we have the kingdom of heaven and the old creation existing at the same time. What happened here is Jesus came, Jesus died on the cross, Jesus forgave our sins, and so the kingdom of heaven is here already. We just kind of happen to be living in this weird in-between time. This is what we believe as Lutherans. So the kingdom of heaven isn't just future far away. The kingdom of heaven is now. So the kingdom of heaven is explaining what the world is like now, not just what it will be like in the future. So, back to the gardening illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like a gardener, the garden of this horrible gardener who just leaves the weeds among the wheat. So what does this have to say to us? Because we are living in this between time, between the old and the new, and that clean break. Now, upon first read or first glance, it seems fairly obvious, seems fairly easy to understand. The person who sowed the good seed is God, and that person equals good. And the enemy sowed the weeds, and the enemy is bad, so the weeds are bad. So wheat equals good, weeds equal bad, so be the wheat, don't be the weeds. Easy enough, we can go home now, right? But things are never quite that easy when it comes to Jesus and his parables, and for that I am eternally grateful. In this parable, first of all, you have this basic but really basic but powerful explanation of good and evil. God, the gardener, the farmer, the sower, the boss, or whatever you want to call the lead character, sows good seed. This, in fact, echoes back to creation, where God created the world. God created even the garden in this case. And everything that God made, including humans, was good. God sowed good seed. And God saw what God had created, and it was good. However, the enemy has different plans. At night, when everyone is sleeping, the enemy comes and sows the weeds. Thus, sin is born. It comes from the enemy, however you want to describe the enemy. Satan, the devil, the enemy, evil incarnate, evil sin. Sin, the weeds, are not a part of God's original design. However, this doesn't mean that the gardener, because the gardener could simply uproot everything and start over, pull everything out, start over. Instead, the gardener decides to work with it. When we read this parable, we most often try to dissociate it. It doesn't really apply to us. You know, the garden is the world, and I suppose we're a part of the world, and the weeds are evil and sin, and the weed is the good stuff, which hopefully is us. We are to stay free from the evil, be separate from the weeds, but it's never quite that simple. First, why didn't the gardener just have the workers pull up the weeds? Because, though it's lost in translation, these weeds are special because the enemy is smart. And that's the thing about weeds in real life, too. They're highly evolved to do their job well. Now, chances are, if you've ever gardened or even taken care of your lawn, you know this. Any of you who have ever dealt with dandelions know this. Now, dandelions are a very, very interesting plant or weed. They're delicious, too. You can eat dandelions if you didn't know that. But for most of us, gardeners, lawn care, dandelion is a weed, and we want to get rid of it. So the way that you get rid of a weed is you pull it up. Except for dandelions, like I said, very smart, evolved for this purpose. They have segmented roots, which means if you pull it up and you're not careful enough, the root will break in the ground very easily. So though you think you've gotten all of the dandelion, there are still pieces of root in the ground allowing the dandelion to grow back. They're very smart. And in this case, in this parable, the word used for weed is a very specific one. It refers to a kind of weed that looks just like wheat when it starts to grow. And for those of you who have gardened, you know there are plants like this. There are plants that mimic the look of another plant, of a fruitful plant that's trying to grow. So, in other words, these weeds actually look an awful lot like the weed, and it's only clear once they're ready to be harvested what actually is wheat and will produce helpful grain and what's actually weeds. Often, when we talk about the kingdom of heaven, we immediately go to the question of who's in and who's out. We want to know who's in. And it's treated like the special exclusive club or clique, and we want to make sure we're in, and we want to judge everyone else on whether or not they're in or out. In other words, we are like the workers. We want to pull out the weeds. But it's not as easy as it sounds. Now, during the summers, when I was 13 to 16 years old, I worked for the Iowa DNR, Department of Natural Resources. My grandma ran a site. It's actually a Frank Lloyd Wright house, if you ever heard of that famous architect. So there was a house in Iowa that she ran, and we gave tours, and there was a lot of grounds. We had large grounds to cover. And part of the grounds included a whole bunch of gardens. And my first summer there, I was put in charge of several large garden beds that have overgrown. Now, you'll remember how I started my sermon, right? I don't garden. This started at a young age. My mother, is really into gardening. She loves gardening. She tried to get me into it, and it just didn't take. So there's certainly a great deal of irony that as a 13-year-old, I was put in charge of taking care of these, like, three 20-foot-long beds as a clueless teenager that had overgrown. And so, not only, you know, you normally when you're gardening, you start the plants off and maybe they're growing just fine and they've already grown up, so it's really obvious because, you know, the flowers are bigger and the weeds are coming up, so they're smaller. No, not these beds. These beds had not been cared for at all. So everything was kind of the same height and overgrown, and here I am, this 13-year-old clueless teenager who doesn't garden, looking at this garden trying to figure out, I don't know which is which. And there were so many weeds there, you know, I asked for help to begin with, to try and figure out what's what, but I couldn't call someone in every time I came across a new weed because it would have just taken, somebody would have just had to be there and supervise me. So guess what I had to do? I just had to sit there and guess. Look at a plant, okay, These plants look like they're generally growing in a row and they all kind of look alike, so we're just going to guess that these are the flowers and everything else is the weeds. And thankfully, I mostly guessed right. Like when the flowers started budding, there were actual flowers and it wasn't just weeds. Now, I might have accidentally pulled some more flowers along the way, but it still looked fine. But it shows you just how dangerous it can be to try and sort when you don't know quite what you're doing. Because just as flowers and weeds can look an awful lot alike, so can wheat and weeds in the world and in people. As much as we would like to think it's easy to distinguish between good and evil, doing the right thing and the wrong thing, figuring out who is weed and who is wheat, it's a lot harder than expected. And yes, this parable is about the world as a whole, and that's an accurate way to read it, but I also see the garden as individual people, as us. You see, God created us and saw that we were good, but then the seeds of evil, of sin, were sown in our lives. Sin came into the world, and sin grew in us like weeds as well. And it's funny how sometimes our sin and our good can look so much alike, like the weeds and the wheat. How often, if, for instance, you're trying to do a good deed, but maybe you just don't do it just for good, but also to make yourself look good. Back at my former congregation, as we were making a transition in new leadership, we did a congregation-wide survey. And the survey, you could write in, you know, what's something that you think is going right in the congregation? What is something good? And we had just got a new senior pastor, great senior pastor, wonderful to work with. We were friends. We were great colleagues. And everybody listed this new senior pastor as like the one great thing, one of the great things happening in the congregation. And, you know, I do my job, I do it well, I don't do it for pride, but part of me was like, well, what about me? Why didn't anybody name me on this? And of course, you know, I'm trying to do my job, be a pastor, minister to word and sacrament, and that is good, but there was also that pride in me that wanted to be recognized and recognized in front of the congregation for the awesome job I was doing. Sure, it might have looked like weeds, but it was also wheat. It looked like wheat, but it was also weeds, sin. Or, for instance, how a passionate personality could lead us either to start an amazing new project to help others, or perhaps lead us to passionately follow the wrong thing to our own ruin. Martin Luther, who is the namesake of the Lutheran Church, had a great way of putting this. The fancy Latin term for this is simul justus et peccator. We are simultaneously sinner and saint. It's that middle ground I showed you earlier. Because we are still here. We are still living in a world where sin exists, and because of that, sin exists in us and is a part of our life. We are sinners. We are weeds. But at the same time, we have that proclamation of forgiveness given to us through the cross and through Jesus. And we are proclaimed holy and God's children and forgiven and offered new life. So we are also saints and we are also wheat. And we live in this space here where we are simultaneously sinners and saints, where we have weeds growing in us, yes, but we also have that wheat, the kingdom of God, working in our lives as well. We are simultaneously sinners and saints, simultaneously wheat and weed. So as tempted as we are, like the workers, to want to separate the weeds and the wheat, we have to wait. We wait until that last day, the great harvest, the new creation brought on by Jesus' return, when finally, finally, all our sins will be burned away for good, where we will be brought to new life, free from sin, free from weeds, free from all the burdens of our harmful actions to ourselves and to others. We will be free and forgiven to live with Christ and the new creation. The weeds, the sin will be burned away, and we will be left saints. and wheat. Until then, we live in this weird in-between time where the kingdom of heaven is here and is at work in our lives, in our congregations, in the midst of a world full of sin and death. We still have to live our lives with the weeds in our lives. We are still sinners, but we are also saints. We also have wheat in us bearing fruit to serve our others and our neighbors and our God. So we live in hope. We live in the promises given. We live in the gratefulness that Jesus doesn't let the workers go to town, because if Jesus let the workers go to town, well, none of us would be left standing. And we live to tell others about what God has done for us, about how we are both fully sinners and fully saint through God's love for us through the cross. Thanks be to God. Amen.